Welcome to the State of Energy. What's up? It's Randy Witt with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. He is the expert. I'm the guy. I'm the other guy. We'll go with that. Does that make you feel more comfortable? The name of the show is Tom and the Other Guy.
Tom and the Other Guy.
Yep.
Brought to you by propane.
Yeah. So, what was the one where I'm actually the monkey?
The monkey?
Yeah, where Clint Eastwood, Right Turn, Clyde. Any Which Way But Loose. Any Which Way But Loose. That's right. So, you're the main character that drives the truck. And then when people start to irritate us, I just reach out the window and punch people.
Wow. What an opener to the show.
I think that's a good setup.
Rand the Monkey.
Yeah, I think that could be the name of this. This episode is entitled Every Which Way But Loose.
There you go.
Now, folks, propane is energy for everyone. You should have that message by now. Not only when the wind and the solar and the electric and the hydro all fail. We're not anti-electric, wind, hydro, or solar. We just think that propane needs to be an equal part of the discussion in the solutions that we need to get to zero emissions and have energy security.
Yeah, reducing our carbon footprint is kind of our mission here, right? And we know that there is climate change going on. You can see it every day. I mean, hurricanes are getting worse. Wildfires are getting worse. It's not that we're not climate deniers.
Not at all.
But there's all these things that we're dumping money into to try to decarbonize our communities that just doesn't seem to quite make a whole lot of financial or environmental sense. And that's what we're all about.
Well, it's true. You know what? If you've got a little bit of time on your hand, it won't take a lot of time. But you know what? Go ahead and do a little background on electric, solar, wind, hydro. And then look at propane as well, and look at how clean, affordable, and abundant and ready for action propane is right now compared to the others.
Absolutely. It's a game changer once you just open your mind up a little bit. There's lots of renewable aspects of propane. We've had guests on the show that talk about renewable propane, biopropane, whatever it is you want to call it. They're even making a rocket that's going to use biopropane. We haven't talked about Orbex for a while. You got anything new on them at all?
Yeah, Orbex Prime, I mean, they're set. They keep getting more and more funding. Things are growing. It looks like the launch is going to be in 2022 as opposed to this year, which shouldn't shock anyone because... Merry Christmas, everyone. The year's almost over. But that's coming soon. That's coming very soon. We're still in line to get tickets for this. And yes. Not that we're going to be aboard the rocket, but we should be in Scotland for the launch of the Orbex Prime.
If you kind of just browse the news a little bit, you see the two big guys, SpaceX and the Blue Origin guys, the Bezos and the Musk, they're really battling to get some bunch of more satellites up in space to make this orbiting satellite internet program. And these guys are talking about launching tens of thousands of satellites to do this. I can only imagine how dirty that's going to be. So hopefully Orbex and their propane powered rocket gets to be part of that to help clean up those emissions.
Yeah, let's not forget about Virgin Galactic.
Yeah.
That's part of it as well. Richard Branson's in the mix. He's making a run as well. So
it's a crazy space race in the private industry, and it's dirty. And I hope that they make some sense and use some biopropane to launch some of these things.
See, you know what? I mean, out of those three guys, Elon Musk would make me question my intelligence. And Bezos, you kind of just want to slap him in the face. But you want to hang out with Branson and maybe play poker and have a couple of beers. So I guess out of all of them, I mean, I respect them all, of course. But Branson...
Which one would you go tailgating with this weekend? Big football weekend coming up. Which one of those guys would you...
Branson!
Yeah, for sure, right?
I actually hung out with him in San Diego when they launched a Virgin Airlines down in San Diego.
We did a whole
launch party with them, and he is the coolest cat. He treats everyone exactly the same. Doesn't matter if you're parking his car or flying him into outer space. He's just a good dude.
That's cool. You know, I would invite Elon up here, but I think we'd have to drive down to Beaver, Utah to pick him up.
Oh, geez. Okay. Wow. Okay. There's an insight. Okay. Let's go to that. You know, before we, okay, pause. We're not, hold on 1 second. We're going to get into that thing. We want to let everyone know that you can go to thestateofenergy.com. There's a ton of information on what propane can do for you, for your home, your business, your farm. Because farmers, it's that time of year to order your fall propane. Because the Propane Education and Research Council, our friends over at PERC, they've created a grain dryer propane use calendar.
A calculator.
It's farmersonly.com. Different thing. Okay, a grain dryer propane use calculator. So it's going to help crop farmers determine how much propane they may need this fall. Farmers can access the calculator at propane.com, enter the amount of crop acres, the average anticipated yield per acre, and how much moisture may be needed to remove from the crop to estimate how many gallons of propane may be needed for your fall campaign.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And PERC does a lot of cool things with the agricultural people to help them get through the crop drying season. So go to thepropane.com, check that out. A lot of cool information out there for your farm, for your ranch, for your business, for your home. Tons and tons of information out there. And it is that time of year. So make sure you get your propane tank topped off. Not that there's a shortage of propane, but it is just a good practice to do that. We're seeing shortages of all sorts of things. And propane is not one of those. It's made in the U.S. It's here. We're not waiting on a bunch of imported products. But take the time, go review your inventories, and get your propane ordered now.
Yeah, get it really simple. Go to propane.com. Again, just the crop acres, average anticipated yield, how much moisture you need to be removed, and the calculation will appear. That's very cool at propane.com. Also a great place to find a job.
Yeah.
Find a propanejob.com.
Yeah, on our website, thestateofenergy.com, you'll find the where to buy button. If you don't already know where to get propane, you can click the where to buy button. And if you're looking for a change of your career, which a lot of people are right now, a lot of people are looking for get out and do something clean for the environment, get a job. Find a propanejob.com.
Industry is going to grow by billions of dollars over the next 5 years. Get in the game. Find a propanejob.com. And Tom, as you mentioned, the NFL kicks off this week. What's your Super Bowl prediction? Who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, a Super Bowl prediction? We haven't even had the first. Well,
a Super Bowl? No, a prediction in week one. That way, you know, at the end of the season, we can play this back.
It would be easy to say the Chiefs and the Buccaneers make it to the Super Bowl again, and Tom Brady finishes off with his final Super Bowl ring. I just don't think the Chiefs are going to do it, though. For me personally, I'm a Brady fan. We're actually, you know, same age. We got, you know, about the same amount of muscle mass. He's a tad bit taller. Yeah.
Your wives look exactly the same.
Oh boy.
You both outkicked the coverage.
Look, a Steelers Buccaneers with the Buccaneers blowing them out. That's my prediction.
Okay. Well, let me tell you where you're wrong. For the first time in history, the Super Bowl is going to be held on my birthday, February 13th.
Whoa,
I was born on Friday the 13th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the 13th hour of the 13th day, and you can check the almanac. There was a full moon. Hi, I'm Satan. So my prediction, because it's going to happen on my birthday and me being from New England, it's going to be Tampa Bay and New England.
Ooh.
Think about that Super Bowl. Think about all the storylines with Mac Jones and how Brady took over when he was young, his age, and all that stuff. That would be a great storyline.
I would like that. That would be a neat one to watch for sure.
And so a lot of folks are going to be doing a lot of tailgating at these games. And we've got a list of the top five barbecue tailgating grills for 2021 from Barbecue Report. And somehow two charcoal grills made it in this. I don't know. I
gotta take care of those guys. Just gotta keep cooking with the charcoal. You know, that 68 Green Bay Packers team would beat the hell out of this current Kansas City Chiefs team. I tell you what.
Where did you find this report? This is the top 10 best tailgating grills.
Yeah, two out of the top five happen to be charcoal. But number one,
wow,
number one is the Coleman Road Trip 285 portable stand up propane grill. Best number one overall choice.
That thing looks pretty cool. It's got wheels on it. Yeah. That looks cool.
So yeah, we have that. I like it. Now, we are going to circle back right now. Folks, thank you very much for listening to The State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt. That's Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. Find out more at thestateofenergy.com. But over the weekend, you sent me this awesome tweet from KUTV, which is CBS in Salt Lake. And the tweet is entitled, "No Power." News 2 viewer says several Tesla drivers become stuck in Beaver, Utah after some kind of failure with power circuit. It keeps them from charging their cars and continuing on their way. They were stuck because there was a problem with a power circuit with their chargers.
It looks like a Tesla convention down in central Utah. I actually went to St. George this weekend and passed this convention going on. So it was a lot of Teslas hanging out there waiting to get charged. You can see in the pictures, they just put bags over all of these high quick charge, whatever the heck they call them, the quick charger. But you know, what's interesting is This Beaver, Utah in general has been in the news a lot because of these charging station issues. And one of the stories was the guy that was owned this property. He just shut him off because he wasn't getting paid. And I don't know, this story is different than that. I mean, this was the last year he just shut him off because he wasn't getting paid by Tesla or whoever the heck pays him. But this one, it says some type of fuse blown or something, and all these people were sitting there waiting to charge their cars on the slow charging system. But holy cow, talk about some range anxiety getting stuck in Beaver, Utah. I could imagine that's got to be one of the least places that I want to get stuck at is down there in the middle of nowhere.
Well, imagine what would have happened if it's in the middle of February.
Well, you would have pulled out your charcoal grill and probably did some tailgating right there.
Because Tesla drivers have charcoal grills in their cars, but they don't realize they are grilling charcoal with all of the electricity that they're burning. I see.
The funny part is here, you go through, you talked about before this, you talked about the top 10
grills,
tailgating grills. And one of them is charcoal. Could you even imagine?
Two of the top five.
Taking a charcoal grill with you on a road trip or a tailgating. Come on. Nobody's going to do that. That would be a filthy mess. Whatever you put in the back of your Suburban, you're going to go put in the back of your truck. That charcoal is going to be everywhere. That's going to be a nasty, nasty mess to clean up. Nobody wants to do that. We need to get these guys on the barbecue report on the show and slap them around a little bit and say, where did you come up with these numbers? Let's really talk about this.
Well, you know what? That is a great idea for one. And number two, we should encourage our State of Energy Army, all of our listeners out there. Whenever you see an electric vehicle, a Tesla or whatever else, pulling out a charcoal grill at the game, please take a picture of it and send it to the State of Energy. I mean, just the contradictions are so thick. If you have but they're really not if you think about it.
What we need to do is, I got a new business idea here for us, Rand. Let's go buy a bunch of mobile charging stations that run on propane. And every time there's a holiday weekend, we'll just go set up on the side of the freeway and just start selling power from some clean propane to charge all these guys up.
I can't believe you actually just put that out there to the world, because that is a freaking great idea. You know what? You know, hey, electric vehicles, you're being fueled by propane, the clean burning and great for the environment propane.
Yeah, we'll sell hot dogs and Coca-Cola and propane powered electricity.
With the occasional tequila shot.
I think it's got some merit. I think we might want to do this. We're going to have to come up with a business plan, see if we get some partners on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to call our buddy Tucker up at Perk and say, hey, we've got this idea. Tucker, we know you listen to the show. Don't steal this idea. It is ours. And now, and you've also, you sent me just before the show, I get sent a 162-page report that somehow I was supposed to read in 30 seconds, but it was good. It's an amazing report. I got through some of it. But the United States Postal Service releases environmental impact statement on next-generation delivery vehicles, and the electric vehicle industry is, let's say, less than happy, peeved.
Yeah, this we've been waiting for this for a while because, as you know, we've talked about it on our show in the past. The United States Postal Service has been directed by Congress to get some cleaner vehicles on the road, and they've went and done this study, and basically the summary is it's just not feasible to have more. The 10% being run on electric battery vehicle. And it says, you know, the impact is due to the reason why they can't do this is because there's a whole bunch of routes that just doesn't make sense. The range isn't there. And then it also goes and talks about the batteries and how dirty these batteries are to dispose of, and that there's no real way to handle this hazardous material. So they're basically coming out and saying we're going to go with an internal combustion engine. And the interesting part, and this is 168 pages, and we're going to post it on the State of Energy so you can read it. But down here at the very bottom, it does talk about the consumption of how much gasoline these vehicles are going to consume. And it says that this new vehicle, the new engine, is going to be it's going to be better, more fuel efficient than the current vehicles that they have. But they're talking about using 109 million gallons of gasoline, which seems like a lot, but in the whole scheme of gasoline use, it's really not that much. So what I would like to say to anybody in the Postal Service right now, or anybody that is buying or not that we have a bunch of listeners that are Postal Service high up guys, but maybe.
Yeah, they really like the band. They really like the band.
Maybe somebody is listening. If you took that 109 million gallons and you made these vehicles run on propane as well, boy, you would have the cleanest fleet in the world.
It's true.
Right there, using propane on these 165,000 vehicles that they're going to replace. Because they're starting this process right now. The Congress gave them the money to do this. And they're going to buy these vehicles. So let's talk them into this. How do we do that? How are we going to get the post office to use propane-powered vehicles instead of these gas ones that they want to use?
Maybe we should reach out to the team at Zeta.
Oh, boy. That's like inviting PETA to your tailgating
to your barbecue
party.
Yes, Zeta. Is it the Zero Emissions Transportation Association? Anything that ends in association is going to incur fees.
The word that screws me up with that whole group is zero. There's just no such thing as zero emissions. We already know where the power comes from. It comes from coal. It comes from natural gas. Very little comes from wind and solar, and we already know that wind and solar is not zero emissions. So it's really hard to even comprehend what these people are trying to do when their name, their first word in their name doesn't even make sense with what really reality is.
Well, I mean, maybe if they went with net zero, yeah. I mean, that would at least say they're trying. But even net zero doesn't even add up with the math when you can think about how much coal it takes. Is going to take to fuel all of these electric vehicles that we're supposed to have, say, just in California in the next 10 years.
It doesn't make any sense. There's not enough electricity to go around right now. We're already consuming more coal than we have, and we're already consuming more natural gas to make electricity than we have. And we already know that there's a ton of mining that it takes to get these batteries. So it just... Everybody can see it now, and the Postal Service has just, you know, made this report for the public to see, and it just adds more to the argument that says electricity is not the answer to a large fleet like this. We've got to
not the sole answer.
What they should do is say, okay, you're going to do 10% electric. Maybe you should do 10% propane. Maybe you should do experiment with some other things as well. But that you can see in the report. I mean, the main thing is they don't want to. Nobody wants to experiment with a battery powered, especially your whole entire fleet. Like, come on, nobody wants to do that. It's too cost prohibitive to do that. It just doesn't make any financial sense for us as taxpayers and for the agency or the Postal Service as a business. They're already in financial problems all over the place. So
yeah, just figure out how to somehow send mail without, you know, losing $1 trillion a year, and then we'll talk. And then you also had a story that I remember about a electric bus. And since we're going into the winter months, it's going to get colder, and it took the whole charge of the battery just to warm up the bus.
Yeah,
and then they had to recharge the bus.
That's the other thing that we're getting talk about a lot is transportation fuels in general. Electricity in those bigger buses is not really the answer. Like this cold climate, when batteries get cold, they don't perform well. So we're talking, the story you're talking about was up in Park City, Utah, where the bus, just by the time they got the thing heated up, they had to turn around and go back to charge it. So there's a big push for school buses now to be electric. And schools already have massive problems financially with all sorts of things, either wages for teachers or supplies or even food. School lunches are in a shortage right now. If you look at the news, you can see that they're struggling nationwide to get certain supplies to even have a school lunch. They're having problems getting drivers. They're having problem paying the drivers. And now we're talking about all over the place. You see, well, let's buy a big expensive school bus that runs on a battery, when we already have a solution for a propane powered school bus that'll save the school district a ton of money. It'll save them a ton of money on the fuel, the maintenance, the vehicle. And they can turn around and reuse those savings to buy more food for the kids, or higher cost food, to buy a higher cost driver, or to pay for more
teachers,
pay the teachers more, or pay for more teachers, whatever they need it to do. But buying a big expensive school bus that runs on a battery doesn't make financial sense to the schools that are already having financial problems.
Exactly. And it's really simple math. All right, let's boil it all down, folks. There's no denying this. It's simple math. You can get 4 propane school buses for the price of 1 electric bus.
4.
4 school buses for the price of 1 electric bus. And that's not even talking about all the maintenance issues that are going to come up.
It's an insane amount of money to save if you just switch to a propane-powered bus. And you can repurpose that money to make your school district better.
Yeah, and you know what? And we like to compliment these school districts. We've got one in Washington County, Tennessee. They're adding 6 new propane school buses to their mix, which brings their number to 11. They keep saying the same thing. It makes sense. We're going to save so much money. They run so much better. The mechanics are ready to work on them now. And, you know, every week we talk about this. 10 school buses here, 6 school buses here, 20 school buses there that are propane. And this number keeps growing. So congratulations to the folks over at Washington County, Tennessee School Districts.
I think we're up over 20,000 propane-powered school buses right now. And it's a great savings for any district that is struggling to save money. And that's not even talking about cleaning the environment. That's just cleaning up your pocketbook. But if you start putting in environmental benefits as well, it's a no-brainer. And the battery-powered school buses, they don't make sense like that. They don't pencil out.
That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Randy Witt. And find out how much propane can do for your life by going to thestateofenergy.com.